Before this podcast starts, I just want to give a plug to my friend Aaron, who's been a frequent guest on this podcast and is one of my best, closest, and dearest friends. I just want to give a plug to her because she lost her apartment due to a fire. So she has a GoFundMe page. She's accepting donations. So she can get back on her feet. Luckily, she has a place to stay, and now it's just getting her supplies and money for supplies because she lost a lot of things. So the GoFundMe page is gofundme.com/erin-needs-things. Once again, gofundme.com/erin-needs-things. So if you have the means to give, that would be great. Thank you so much for listening to everything I'm saying right now. And thanks for listening to the podcast. So without further ado, here's my review of The Last Jedi. Thanks. This was everything I wanted it to be and more. I was, in a weird way, expecting it to look the way it looked. I thought it would look like Looper, which I thought was a pretty good movie, but the way it looked for a Star Wars movie was really good, and it was really unique in the look of it, the directing of it, and especially the writing of it. Rogue One touched on this subject at first, and The Last Jedi kind of brought it out to the forefront about the subject of nuance, about how there are three sides to every story, yours, mine, and the truth, and how people's point of views obviously change things and filter things, and also how the good side isn't 100% good and the bad side isn't 100% bad. And I thought that was illustrated so clearly with the Benicio del Toro character, in how, yeah, these are arms dealers, but the arms dealers, yeah, are selling weapons to the First Order, but they're also selling weapons to the Resistance. So people like that are, in fact, the real bad ones, because they're not in it for necessarily ideology, they're in it to make money. But at the same time, you know, morally, if people are being killed, people are being killed regardless of what the motivation is. So I think The Last Jedi really touched on that well. And there were some aspects of the movie where the humor stretched on a little long, like, for example, Poe's crank call to Hux. I laughed at it, but I think if I watched it again, I'd be like, ah, maybe that could have been trimmed a little shorter. And there were some moments of humor like that that took me out of it a little bit, but that is just nitpicking. I loved this movie so much, and just from, I have talked about podcasts before about my relationship with Star Wars and my life, so I don't want to repeat or bore anybody with it again. But I went with my family again. I went with my dad, my older brother. I only have one brother. He's an older brother, and my nephew. And I saw Return of the Jedi in 1983 with my father and my brother and my mom. My mom didn't go with us in this one. She stayed home. She'll see it some other time. And I think I might have seen Empire Strikes Back in the movie theaters, but I don't really remember it. But I remember seeing Jedi, and it was one of the greatest days of my life. So sitting next to my nephew, and this happened with Rogue One, and this happened with Force Awakens, and seeing him cheer and hearing him cheer, and like he loves the Porg, and seeing him with the Porg and raising his fist up every time the Porg was on screen was great. I didn't have a problem with the Porg. Some of my friends, and I don't know if I'm going to be on the Mobile Horror Companion podcast or not, but they're planning on having a podcast December 27th, and we're going to be talking about this. I may have to work, so I can't make it. But my friend Glenn Baisley of lightanddark.net, wasn't too impressed with the movie. And it's interesting with Glenn, because a lot of times he'll say, this is the best movie I've ever seen in my life, and I watch it, and it's such a fucking piece of shit. But then when he says, like, he hates a movie, sometimes I'll be like, how did you hate this movie? So our tastes are, like, way off. He didn't hate it, but I think he was disappointed with it, because he, and I'm putting words in his mouth, and I'm sure he'll have an answer to me, but he, and I think people like him, had an expectation for this movie. It was supposed to be like this. It was supposed to be dark. It was wasn't supposed to have humor. It was supposed to be A, B, and C. And when that movie didn't fulfill that expectation, when it threw people for a loop, people become defensive and people become hurt and they start nitpicking every little issue. If the humor was dragged out, and how come Luke didn't do this, and why did Luke do that, and why this and why that? No movie is perfect. It's almost impossible to have a perfect movie. So there's going to be some things that you question, but for the most part, this movie was fantastic. It was obviously the movie of the year, just because the way I reacted to it. So let me get back to the Porg. And there's going to be spoilers in this podcast in case, I mean, you're going to read that there's going to be spoilers in the description. But I didn't mind the cutesiness of the Porg. It kind of reminded me of Grumpy Cataway, the way their faces were. I thought it was really dark that fucking Chewbacca was eating one of them. That was so dark. I thought he was just like another animal that he just happened to catch, but apparently it was a Porg. I hope it wasn't. I don't think it was, but that'd be really fucking bad if it was. Terrible, Chewbacca. My nephew totally said, next time I see Chewbacca or read about Chewbacca, I'm going to be disgusted. Ugh. So I didn't mind the cuteness of the Porg. I realize it's probably a way to sell toys. That's what the cynical part of me says. But I look at the Porg kind of like if Chewbacca is like a pirate, which he is, a space pirate. If he's a space pirate, the Porg is like his parrot. You know, a little bit, I guess, well, probably not as smart as a parrot, but kind of like that. I didn't mind the Porg. It's not like it was a Jar Jar thing and it was in the whole movie. It was just, it was some window dressing, which was fine. I loved the role that women played in this movie. Laura Dern's character was great. And I knew that Poe being the hothead would come back to bite him in the ass. I knew Laura Dern's character had a plan, but kept her cards close to her vest. And I think I read something on IGN that Glenn, you know, it was six WTF moments in The Last Jedi, and one of them was, why didn't, Laura Dern's character, I forgot her name already, I just saw the movie a couple hours ago, so why didn't Laura Dern's character tell Poe what she was doing? She is the leader of this resistance, and Poe at least was a, you know, commander, and then he was just demoted. Why would he know? It is not his place to know. It is not his place in the chain of command to know. So there's no reason for her to tell him that. And then you can see in Poe's arc how he accepted that he can't be the hothead anymore. So I have a feeling, especially with Carrie Fisher being gone, that he may take the Leia mantle. Just seeing Luke and that first scene with Luke where I was kind of expecting that kind of reaction. I didn't think he would say anything noble or anything wise or anything stoic. It was so refreshing to see something unpredictable happen where he just threw the lightsaber over his shoulder and Luke was such a crabby, bitter old man that it was great. He wasn't this, you know, philosophical monk that probably a lot of people expected to him. I love this movie because it wasn't predictable in that way. It had certain callbacks to Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, but it didn't stick with a formula, which is what I loved. I just the way Luke was just so awesome from the beginning to what he became in the end. And then one of the coolest parts was Snoke. Now, I loved the Snoke. I wasn't too crazy about him in Episode 7 because they just kind of introduced him. You didn't know who he was, and he looked a little too CGI. In The Last Jedi, he looked great. It looked like practical makeup. It might have been like some mixture of CGI. The voice, I would assume it's Andy Serkis's voice. Snoke's voice was fantastic. The way that he carried himself was awesome. He was so powerful in the Force, and he was scary, and he was unpredictable, and he was arrogant, and his arrogance is what killed him, and that just threw everybody in the audience for a loop, how Snoke died like that. We thought he was going to be another emperor, and I was afraid of that. Why have another emperor when you already had an emperor? You didn't need another emperor, and I'm so glad Snoke got killed off the way that he did. I loved the relationship between Rey and Kylo Ren. It started off as kind of like a Romeo and Juliet kind of relationship. Like, this is something forbidden, and they're getting together, and you can kind of tell that there's some tension, and that sparks are going to fly, and then you think they're together, and then Rey completely shuts the door on him at the end. Or so we think, anyway, but I think that's the way it's going to go, especially since she met Poe Dameron. There's a little bit of spark, so I wonder if there's going to be, like, a love rectangle between Rose and Finn and Poe and Rey. So that's setting up. I thought, I'm just doing stream of consciousness here. Like, I'm sure when Erin sees the movie, I'll talk with her about it, see how she felt. I'm sure I'll talk with Glenn. I had an argument with him on the driving home. Not like a friendly argument, but telling me everything he thought that was wrong with it. What else? Bringing Yoda back was a bit of fan service, and I wasn't too keen on how Yoda looked. Glenn got it right. Like, he looked a little different, looked a little bloated in the face, and it was just weird that Yoda can make contact with Luke even though he's a ghost. But I attributed that to just how the Force evolves, and they kind of touched on that. It's like, we can't go back to the past anymore. The fact that Luke said the Jedi were so arrogant, and he was right. He was right, they were, and how it caused Sidious to do all this damage, and at least how they can stand back and critique themselves. The Benicio del Toro character, DJ, how he expressed, you know, how I said before, how he expressed the nuance of certain things, how he's like a Han Solo character. He's in the middle, and he's only out for himself, and that's the best defense. Because if you join a team, if you join an ideology, you have to go with that, and it could get you killed. At least if you're on your own, you can kind of ride the fence a little bit, you know, until that can get him killed. Captain Phasma was an absolute waste. I almost said Brienne. I'm forgetting her name. She's such a great actress. She's so awesome in Game of Thrones, and she's completely wasted in The Force Awakens. In The Force Awakens and in The Last Jedi. There didn't even need to be a Phasma there. I wish they would have done something more with her. I assume Poe killed her. She's dead. Fine. Luke's death. I didn't want him to die. I wanted him to do more, especially him being the hologram at the end and just showing what a force, to pardon the pun, that force he was, just a force to be reckoned with, how he totally outsmarted Kylo Ren, not being anything physical with him, but just how he outsmarted him. And it was just so tragic how this misunderstanding caused the boy, Ben Solo, to be completely angry, and understandably so. But it just shows how the misunderstanding led to, you know, so many people being killed and Snoke taking advantage of it. His death was so unexpected that it was great, and it threw everybody for a loop. The fact that Kylo Ren now is the Supreme Leader, the fact that he still has tension with General Hux, and General Hux looks so much older in this movie, and I think they did that by design because he looked so young in the other one. And I like how they showed the First Order having some more age in it, because it looked like too many young people in the First Order, so at least it showed some older people in it. I loved the script. I loved, again, the nuance in it. I wish there were more lightsaber fights, but the lightsaber fights they had were great with the Praetorian guards that Snoke had. It was just well done. I wish there would have been more of a lightsaber fight with Luke, but they're saving that for, I'm sure, for Episode 9. Just a fantastic movie overall. I still have to process this, but after, it's definitely better than Episode 7. Definitely. Episode 7 was a good starting point, and this just went off in another direction. And I, you can listen to podcasts before, and I think in my previous podcast, I wished for something more unpredictable, and they definitely delivered in the unpredictability. They delivered in the uniqueness, and I'm hoping for episode 9 they don't go back to the formula that was Force Awakens. I hope they go more into this nuanced territory because it's working for them. It's more of a grown-up Star Wars, but kids can enjoy it on a certain level too. It was just mind-boggling. I love, and I hope it's true, that Rey's parents aren't anybody that we're familiar with. They just might have been ordinary people who just abandoned her for some money or whatever. I hope it's that way. It better be that way. She better not be Obi-Wan's granddaughter or the great niece of Palpatine or wherever the fuck she is. Because there were so many rumors who Snoke was, like whether he was Plagueis or whether he was fucking Mace Windu, you know, for all we know. I don't know if episode 9 is going to go into his backstory. They probably won't. I hope we find his backstory in some time, because I am curious how he got so powerful, because he really was. I thought he was more powerful than the Emperor, not as smart as the Emperor, and definitely more arrogant than the Emperor. The Emperor's arrogance killed him as well, but Snoke was just totally... I wish they didn't show the lightsaber turn when Kylo Ren turned it. I wish that would have been more of a surprise, but it was still so very well done. I thought that Kylo Ren killed Princess Leia in the beginning. I thought maybe they reshot something because Carrie Fisher died and that was like a tribute to her. But the fact she used the Force to survive the vacuum of space and then to be healed, that was so well done, and it's just so awful. You know, obviously it's awful that she's dead because Carrie Fisher's no longer going to be around, and it's awful that they have to change the script because of the tragic death of Carrie Fisher. So it's awful on so many fronts. Obviously, it's the worst for her family and for the people who cared about her. I'm not dismissing that at all. So I liked that it was kind of a tribute to her, and I liked that Mark Hamill had a scene with her, even though it was the hologram Luke. Everybody thought he was there. I love how the Force is evolving. I wonder if we'll see Obi-Wan Kenobi in episode 9. I love the fact they brought Yoda back. They didn't go into the significance of the tree. I don't know if they will. Obviously, Rey took the books, so something's going to happen with that. Maybe Rey is still going to hold on to tradition and be kind of like a self-taught Jedi. There's so much to answer. Episode 9 better be 9 hours long. I love that this movie was long. I wish it was longer. I thought, and I'm so glad it didn't end like this, I thought it was going to end on a cliffhanger when Luke was facing down those AT-ATs, and I gotta get a poster of that. The lone wolf, Luke Skywalker, facing down a whole fucking battalion of AT-ATs and just standing there in his black Jedi outfit. Oh my god, that was so awesome. So awesome. I loved the death scene of Luke Skywalker looking at the suns. I understand that, I guess it was so powerful what he did that it kind of drained him, and Luke doesn't have a purpose anymore because he passed his wisdom on to Rey. It's time for Luke to move on. Maybe he'll come back as a Force ghost. I really hope he does. I need to see more Luke Skywalker in this, and if this is the last of Luke Skywalker, it's great that they left me wanting more. It was a great send-off for him. The very, very end with the kids, and like, did anybody else notice that kid when he used the broom, he used the Force? So it's going to be a whole new generation of Jedi Knights coming up, and they're going to be inspired by the stories of Luke Skywalker and the stories of the Resistance and the stories of the Rebellion. And the fact that this movie drew upon modern times with the military-industrial complex, arms dealers, making money off war, tyrannical authoritarian governments trying to squash the resistance, the nuance of how sometimes good people do bad things. It just so well done, and I hope they keep this up, and I can't wait till another Star Wars movie. I can't wait till the Han Solo movie. I can't wait until episode 9. This was such a wonderful experience for me seeing this movie. I was crying throughout the whole movie. Just anything that happened, I was crying. Any line, anything. I'm just so full of emotion with seeing it with my family, seeing it with my nephew. The fact that it's Star Wars, the fact that so much of who I am is based on these fucking movies, and the message that the movie brings. It's almost the impact that Star Wars has is the impact that I want to have. whether as an actor or whether as a human being, to always, like the Force in this movie and like the Jedi, always change and always evolve for the good and for the light side and all that good stuff. So this will not be, I hope it won't be my last podcast on The Last Jedi. I can talk about this all day. Once my friend Steve sees the movie, maybe I'll have something with him. Hopefully when Erin will see the movie soon, I'll have something with her. I'll hopefully be on the mobile companion if I'm not working. And this will not be the last Last Jedi podcast. Definitely not. Just, man, what a wonderful movie. And I'm just going to see it a couple more times to process it, to have it go in my order of movies. But I don't know, like, the way I'm thinking now, it's better than Empire. But maybe because I've seen Empire so many times, it was more nuanced than Empire, you know? So maybe that's why I like it so much, and it was just so different, so unique. So thank you, Ryan Johnson, and I think Lawrence Kasdan was the writer, so thank you. And this is the Star Wars that I've always envisioned movie-wise. I've been such a big fan of the books, the Legends books now, how it's a more adult-oriented, and but also that someone like my nephew can enjoy it as well. Great job, everyone. Movie of the year by far. And hopefully this will be the podcast of the year. If you want to make it the podcast of the year, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Mike Laneact, MikeLaneAct. I'm at Mike Lane Actor on Facebook. Find me on Podbean, YouTube, Stitcher, all that good stuff. All right, everyone. Have a good night, and may the Force be with you.